I don't have a lot of time because I'm not the speaker, so I'll try to be pretty brief. But first of all, I just want to remind all of you that the Bible studies have resumed. There is a Bible study in the northwest end and one in the south end. And as far as the south end Bible study is concerned, it's been 2 weeks now and very few people have shown up. And I don't want to play a guilt trip, but it's just that we need to know if those who live in the south end are interested or not. Well, it's not that they may not be interested, it's just that I should put it that way instead. I should say if people can make it or not. And I trust that the reasons may be very good reasons, but we need to know if most people cannot make it, of those who live in the south end. Just let us know, and then there will only be the North End Bible study. But we need to know what's going on. Now, as far as Guy is concerned, he's a friend. He's a man that I met about 20 years ago in a Christian summer camp in Quebec. And I've learned to know him a little better this weekend because he's staying with us. And he's a dear brother. He is a husband, and he has three kids, and he's an elder at the Shawinigan Brethren Assembly. If you don't know about Shawinigan, that's where our ex-Prime Minister Jean Chrétien comes from. And as far as Guy's English is concerned, his English is very good, but he doesn't get to practice very much, so be graceful, and if something comes out not too straight, he's going to be more than happy to answer your questions afterwards. There may be a time for public questions, but he's not sure yet on how things are going to go. So if you have some questions afterwards, you can just go and talk with him. And he's going to talk to us this morning about his personal testimony and also about the Lord's work in Quebec. And he's also involved in all kinds of ministries, but I'm not going to go in details because there are quite a bit of things, and I'll let him talk to you about those things. So, yeah, may the Lord bless you, and let's listen carefully so that we don't miss out, because he's got a lot of very interesting things. Thank you.
It is a real pleasure for me to be with you this morning. But first of all, I want to read with you in the scripture. Please turn with me in Hebrew chapter 6 and verse 10, please. Hebrew chapter 6 and verse 10. I'm going to read three verses with you. It is written, God is not unfair, unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inheritance what he has been promised. Sorry, it was written very tinny in that Bible. It was tough. And please, I want you to give me the permission to read the Living Bible. I will read this text in the Living Bible, and I will use it as a commentary. So it's written in the Living Bible, chapter 6 and verse 10. For God is not unfair. How can he forget your hard work for him and forget the way that you used to show your love for him and still be by helping his children. And we are anxious that you keep right on loving others as long as life lasts, so that you will get your full reward. Then, knowing what lies ahead for you, you won't become bored with being a Christian, not become spiritually dull, this is what I read, and indifferent, but you will be anxious to follow the example of those who receive all that God has promised them because of their strong faith and patience. I think to myself this morning that I have to share with you this part of scripture to try to encourage you. I think that it is the most powerful words of comfort and encouragement that we can find in the Holy Scripture. And I think that we need to be encouraged to keep on going, to keep our faith and keeping serving people around us, because this is the will of God for everyone. Sometimes we are discouraged and we think that God forgot what we've done. And he is never unjust. And he never forget us, he never neglected to our work for him. And maybe we don't receive a reward of what we are doing now, but we have to keep in mind that one day he will reward us for what we've done. And in that passage, in that text, I want to talk about the work and love and the help that people, that Christians do. And when I was thinking about this scripture, I was thinking about the people who come from West Canada and from all across Canada who went to Quebec to share the gospel with the Quebecers. And I've had the opportunity to receive the gospel because someone came and shared the gospel and preached the gospel in Quebec province. And I am very thankful to the Lord for that people who came in Quebec as missionaries. And I am very thankful to all of you, all from Canada, who send some supports and missionary to Quebec because you have a heart for us. You've done some sacrifice because you wanted us to hear the gospel. Is it okay if I speak like this? You understand? Yes? Okay. I will try to do my best. And because they went and they were working with love and they do some services, and we really do appreciate what people have done. And I want to encourage you this morning to continue to serve the Lord and to think that the Lord don't forget what you've done for him. So thank you so much for the help that you give to Quebec. And I want to show you Lord's work in Quebec, actually. And maybe I can use the slide that... Oh, that's okay. In 2004, we are about 40 assemblies in Quebec, French Francophone assemblies. And we decided to get together and try to achieve some things that we were not able to achieve individually, but we came together and we decided to unite our strength and resources under the direction of the Holy Spirit and to work for the advancement of God's kingdom. And we are very encouraged by what the Lord do in Quebec mission field. You know, because this is a big, huge mission field. We are less than 1% of believers. So it means that we are between 15 and 20 times less than you. So I'm going to show you some numbers, but it means that for you it's going to be very, very small number, but for us it is very great numbers. And so we decided to work together, and we were very preoccupied by the situation because our workers, the missionaries who came to Quebec, they were getting older. They were 70, 75, and 80 years old. So we needed some new workers in the field. So we decided to pray, and we asked God to have 10 new workers till 5 years in his mission field. And we are pretty well encouraged by what we saw, because in three and a half years, we've got 7 new workers in the field. So we bless the Lord for what did happen in Quebec mission field. And maybe we can tell the first picture. I want you to see the people who decided to be involved. This is Jean-Marc Petit, and after there's Tony Bissonnette. I'm gonna tell you about him. Just roll them. Tony Bissonnette. Also, we've got myself. In 2007, I decided to let my work and to be a full-time worker, to be in the mission field in Quebec in summer camp as a summer camp director, also as a producer of a TV program. We call it L'Heure de la Bonne Nouvelle, the Hour of Good News, translated in my English. And also, there is Fernand and Guylaine Montplaisir, who they are working in the summer camp, and also they are quite involving in the local church. Also, Gilles Despins, who is working with Profac. Also, André and Lise Lepage, they are from a little Breton assemblies in Cabano, in Témiscouata. And also, there is Jonathan and Andréanne Montplaisir. So these are the 7 new workers in the field in Quebec. And I'm telling you, we are pretty encouraged by what the Lord is doing in Quebec, actually, among the Christian Brethren assemblies. Also, we decided that we need to meet to be more deep in the knowledge of God's scripture, to be more deep in the Bible. And we decided to set up, maybe we can go with the slide. Okay, continue. Okay, stop. I forgot the slide, but that's okay. We decided to build a new program, to rebuild the program. It's called Profac, and it is a Bible training program. And we've got more than 150 students in that program. It means that between 8 and 10% of all the believers in Christian Brethren assemblies are studying in a Bible training. So it means that many people, it's like if you have about 2,000 people who decided to be dedicated to a biblical training program. So as I told you, for you, it's small amount, 150 students, but it's a great number for us in Quebec. So we want to make sure that we will be very strong in words, Word of God. And also, we decided to support the new workers in a different way. We want to support them financially, but also spiritually, with coaching, with encouraging them to make sure that they will be efficient in the mission field. Also, what we've done, we had a conference with the workers. This is what we saw on the last picture. And also, you can go. This is the conference that we got for the workers in the field in Quebec. Let's continue. Okay, and now, not only we pray for new workers in the field, but also we pray the Lord for new churches in Quebec. Because since 20 years, there was no more church planting in Quebec among the assemblies. And we were praying about it. And one of the guys, Tony Bissonnette, is from Shawinigan Brethren Church, where I'm in. And he said, "Guy, I sense a call from the Lord to go to the mission field, to Rouyn-Noranda, north in Quebec, and I want to be involved in mission field." At the beginning, I said in myself, maybe he forgot to take his pills this morning. But he said, Guy, I sense that the Lord called me to go there. So he decided to move in Rouyn-Noranda, and they purchased an old Anglican church building, and they grew up to 12 to 19 persons per person day morning service. So we are very encouraged, and people come to the Lord, and there's a special summer camp program that reached people to Christ, and people decided to follow the Lord and to be disciples, and they attend to that Rouyn-Noranda church and have the opportunity to be a good disciple and to be strong in faith. So we are very encouraged, and also there is another one, maybe we can see it, at Notre Dame du Nord, another new church planned there, and we are encouraged by what is going on at Rouyn-Noranda. It's like a earthquake here in north of Quebec. So this is what is going on in Quebec. It was a bar in Notre Dame du Nord. So we converted the building, hoping that people will get also converted as the building was. And we've got that testimony at Notre Dame du Nord between Rouyn-Noranda and Ville-Marie City in north of Quebec. And also we've got some resources for youth development. We find it very important to have a youth program in every churches to have a new generation who will follow the Lord, who will receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So we've got a big youth conference each year at Mont Carmel. And we have a great opportunity to preach the gospel and also to help the newborn Christian to be dedicated to the Lord. I'm going to try to slow down. Is it okay? You understand what I'm saying? Okay, thank you so much. I apologize for my pronunciation. As Luke said, I didn't practice very much in Shawinigan. Nobody speaks English at Shawinigan. And Jean Chrétien speaks English, but like me. So he said that he's got two second language. I feel that way too. So we've got this conference for youth people, and we try to keeping on with them. Also, we try to help churches with evangelists. We've got some Hope Breakfast, a place we come to a restaurant and a Christian share his faith, how he came to the Lord, how he received Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And this is a great way. Sometimes people, they say, I don't want to attend to a church or to show up at church, but they feel more free to come to a restaurant to hear a testimony of faith. Also, we have a TV program in Quebec, and I've got the privilege to be the producer of that program. The name is L'Heure de la Bonne Nouvelle, the Hour of Good News. And we have 8 weeks program of 30 minutes during 8 weeks. We are broadcast in TVA network. It's like Global or CTV in English. And we are able to reach people with the gospel with between 149,000 people per Sunday. So it means that it is a huge opportunity to preach the gospel to the Quebecers. And I think that we need to go to people and share the gospel instead of waiting that they come to see us. I think that we have to be very proactive, because the Lord Jesus Christ said, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you to the world. So this is what we try to achieve with the TV program L'Heure de la Bonne Nouvelle. And something happened very strange this year. We had an opportunity to be in another channel. And we're going to be 50 weeks per year. Each week we're going to be on television in Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. we will be able to preach the gospel each week of the year. So it is, for us, it is a great encouragement to continue to preach the gospel all around the Quebec City. And we have the opportunity to reach people that we won't be able to reach with other way. Also, we made a lot of distribution, literature distribution in Quebec. When it was the anniversary of Quebec City, it was the 400th anniversary of Quebec City, and we distribute 400,000 copies of John's Gospel. So for us, we felt that we have to share the gospel and we have to proclaim the gospel and we have to put scriptures in the hand of people. And I will give you a bit of my testimony about it, about the fact that when I decided to read John's gospel, I was saved. So we've done this for another city, Trois-Rivières City, near from Shawinigan City. And last year, we distribute about 120,000 copies of John's Gospel. So it is a huge effort for the Quebecers to share the Gospel and to let people know about God's Word. And this is what we've done. And we come together as a network, and what we try to do is to be united, and we fully respect the autonomy of each churches who are involving in the network. Let me share with you another part of the scripture in Hebrews 6:10. It's about diligence and hope sure. And I think that the vigorous of our hope is directly proportional to our diligence. It seems to me that hope sure without diligence, it's like faith without works. And We've got this great assurance because we serve the Lord. We've got this assurance in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. Maybe you can read it in your Bible. It says that we've got a great assurance when we serve the Lord. And this is what I find in my life, and this is what I find in the life of the Christian in Quebec who decided to be dedicated to the Lord. And also in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36, maybe I can read it in that Bible. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36. It's going to be my final exhortation for this morning, and after I'm going to share a piece of my testimony. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36. Oh boy, it is so teeny. So, do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised for in just a very little while. He who is coming will come and will not delay. I really appreciate what I saw on your screen, that Jesus Christ is dead, he is raised, and he is gone again. And this is the gospel that we preach in Quebec province. And in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6 and 7, it is written, as we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to walk in Him. And we have to be founded and rooted in faith in Him. And in 1981, I was working in a summer job. And I met a guy. His name is Pierrot Lafrenière. And people around me, they said, pay attention to that guy. He is a Christian. He's going to talk to you about God and the Bible. And he said, he is saved and he is crank. I don't know how to say it in English, but you know, in French we say capoté. And I met that guy at the workplace, and I say, how you get saved? You're saved for what? And he say, I'm saved because I did accept Jesus Christ as my personal savior. And I'm gonna go to heaven for eternity. He say, are you saved? I say, when I was young, I was under the water and I was like dead, and they rescue me and they beat me on my back and the water goes out and it was pumping my heart, and so I regained life. And this is why I'm like this, you know, I was missing some oxygen in my brain, so this is why I'm like this. But I say, I was rescued. He say, were you rescued from your sin? And he asked me one question that I will never forget. He say, Guy, when you're gonna die, where are you going? In heaven or in hell? He said, I say, yeah, I think I will go to heaven. He say, how come? I say, you know, I think that God have a special scales, and he will put my goods and my bads, and it's gonna be pretty tight, but in photo finish, I think that I'm gonna be okay. He said, are you really sure that it is going to function like this? I say, well, yes, the religious people, I'm a good Catholic, and they told me that I was baptized when I was a kid, when I was a children, and everything seems okay. So he said, did you watch in the Bible what it says about it? I said, no. He said, I want to encourage you to read the Bible. And he encouraged me to read in John's Gospel, the Gospel that we distribute in Quebec. I think that it is very relevant for Quebecers. And I was starting reading the Bible, and each night I was reading the first, third chapter of John. And the day after, he said, what did you read last night? Always the same thing. He said, Guy, you have to read something else in the Bible. I said, no. Because each night that I'm reading these verse in the Bible, I feel that the Lord helped me to understand more and more his love for me. And when Piero was talking to me about Jesus Christ, it was like if he had a breakfast with him each morning. I was attending to a seminary, and we were reading the Bible, but it was all historic stuff. It means nothing to me in my life. But for the very first time, when I read the scripture, I realized that it was a living word, and it was working in my heart. So I did understand that, you quote that verse this morning, John chapter 1 and verse 12, if my memory is correct. It's about becoming a new person. For those who receive him, he gave him a new life. And when I read John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, for whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It looks like this in French. And I see, oh, God is loving me. But I have a big problem. I was very proud of myself, and I was a big sinner, but I didn't know it very much. So I did realize that God has a plan for me. He has a perfect plan, and I realized that myself, I say no to God, forget about your plan, I'm going to take my way to doing the things, and I'm going to use my plan. And I do realize that it was a big mistake for me, that it was a sin. Sorry, I'm going to use some water because I'm pumping a lot of fuel. And I do realize that I miss the plan. I do realize that I was a sinner. And I realized at that moment that I made some sins that nobody else knew about it, but I was knowing about it and God was knowing about it. So I was feeling guilty. I said to myself, I'm not correct. I saw the love of God and my guilty. And Pierrot told me about Jesus Christ, that he died on a cross to forgive my sins. And it was a kind of new message for me to hear that. He say, it's not about you, it's all about Jesus Christ when he lose his blood at the cross. It was for forgiving your sin, to wash you, to clean you, to purify you. So before that time, it was universal. I was saved among the crowd. But that time, I have to do a personal step. And I realized that I remember I was fighting in my hand. I say, look, Pierrot, is it true that if I receive the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, it's not about me, it's about him, and I'm forgive for everything, and I'm going to have my ticket for the heaven? He said, yes. I say, I'm going to say yes to Jesus Christ and keep my life going on. He said, no, this is not functioning like this. He said, if you're really saved, if you really know his love, it will change your life. And I was fighting because I was very happy. I was 19 years old. I've got my brother's car. I've got his sound system. I've got many things. But I knew that I was lost. And during 1 week, I was traumatized by this thought that if I die, I'm going to go to hell. Because I didn't receive Jesus Christ. Because I didn't accept his rescue. I was feeling very, very sad. And Pierrot said, we are praying for you, Guy. Our church, we pray for you. I said, I need your prayer. And I do realize that I was lost. And Pierrot said to me, ask Jesus Christ to forgive you, to forgive you. And I said, okay. It was on a night. I said, okay, Lord, okay. I know that I'm a sinner. And I'm very preoccupied by my new life that you can give to me, because I don't want to be unhappy. I don't want to, you know, to travel like this and do some prayer. And I was not a monastic kind of guy. I was a speedy guy, and I want to live. And I was so worried to die that I was living night and day to make sure to don't die during I was sleeping. So there was a fight in my head. And I said, okay, I know that, oh, God loves me. And I really realized he loves me very much. Because he sent his only begotten son on the cross. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to ask you to forgive me. And I made a prayer. I said, Jesus, could you forgive all my sins? I know that I'm really a sinner. Could you forgive me and bring me with you in the heaven, please? Forgive me. I'm asking you to forgive me. I say, amen. And nothing do happen. I say, maybe I missed something. I repeat the prayer, and nothing did happen. So I say, okay, I'm going to take the Bible, put it in my hand, and say, okay, I do the same prayer, and nothing did happen. So I say, wow, I've got a problem. The day after, I was at workplace, and I realized that I was really lost. Because I said to Pierrot, you know, the only one who can save me, he don't save me. I'm really lost. The only way to be saved, I'm not able to be on. And it was the 7th of May, 1981. It was 5 to 5 o'clock. I really do realize that I was a sinner. It was, if I see all my life in a screen, in a film, and I saw all the bad things that I have done, I really realized at that time that I was a real sinner. And you know what did I do? I was crying. And I said to Jesus Christ, I've got just the little, you know, teeny faith, but I want to put my trust in you. And not only I want this free tickets for heaven, but I want to submit my life to you. And I don't know what will happen, but I will put my trust in you for everything. And at that moment, I remember like if it was now. I was receiving his love, his forgiveness, and I was instantly transformed by him, by the Holy Spirit. I've got this new life in Christ, and I sense a peace like I never sensed before. And I was brushing a truck, and I stand up and say, "I'm saved! I'm saved!" You see, stop yelling like this. People will they will say that you're foolish guys. I say, "I'm saved." If you win the million, are you going to be happy? Say, "Yes, I win more than a million." So I was so happy. And I was transformed by God. And during the week, my brother and my sister, they thought that I was raped by an extraterrestre, and they sent me back after brainwashing my brain and bring me back to hurt because they saw what the Lord was doing in my life. And we put a lot of emphasis in that in Quebec, especially in summer camp. We were preaching the gospel this summer, and we asked to people not only to accept Jesus Christ, but to really receive him and dedicate their lives to him. And maybe I can finish with a testimony. Am I supposed to finish at noontime?
No.
Okay, 5 minutes? Okay, I want to share with you some things very rapid. Is it okay? Do you need a break before? Okay. So you're so kind with me. Thank you so much. I'm talking from the bottom of my heart, as you could see. I don't pay attention the way that I'm telling the things, but I apologize. This summer, we had a summer camp program in Shawinigan, and I've got the privilege to be a director. And we share the gospel with the people. And some of them, they were attending to the camp 1 week, and after they come back to their home 1 week, and they came back after at the camp for another week. And what we find this year, we not only preach the gospel, but we make sure that we preach the whole gospel. For me, the gospel, it's about God's plan, perfect plan, that we missed. This is our problem as human being. And it's all about the intent version, what Jesus Christ done on the cross. He is the only one who is able to forgive us. And it's about a response. It's about answering yes. It's about answering forgiveness. But it's about becoming a new creature. And what is very interesting, 5 teenagers, they, as I told you, they show up to the camp. And they did accept Jesus Christ as their personal savior. But when they went back home, they shared with me that testimony. They said, "Gee, my parents don't recognize myself. And I do not recognize myself. Because before I was doing some bad things and I wasn't feeling guilty about it. Now if I do some bad things, I feel guilty about it." And I do realize that the 5 teenagers, they really born again. And it is so marvelous to see how the Lord continue to transform lives of people in Quebec. And I'm pretty sure that this is the same thing here. The love of God, the truth of salvation transform lives. And this is a great thing. And in the scripture in Colossians chapter first chapter in verse 9 and 14, it's about be thankful to the Lord that he transport us from the darkness to the light. And I find it so amazing that he decided to transport us from darkness to light. And what amazed me the most, it is the fact that he wants to share his kingdom with us. I'm going to tell you something. If I be God, I say, "Okay, Guy, I save you, but I don't want to see you. You're going to be in the little shack, you know, down the forest, and I don't want you to be very near to me." But he say, "Guy, and for all of you who receive Jesus Christ," he say, "I want you to be with me in my kingdom." during that, before that time, I want to take all my life to be dedicated to Him and try to work for the advancement of God's kingdom, toward my personal testimony, toward the church, the réseau network, toward l'heure de la bonne nouvelle, in many ways, to make sure that God, not only I want Him to reign in my life, and I hope that He reigns in my life, and I want that every people had the opportunity to receive the gospel and ask Jesus to reign in their life. And this is what we need to consider. So I think that I'm going to stop now. Thank you for your attention. Maybe if someone can do a prayer, because it's very tough for me to pray in English. And maybe I can ask to my brother to come and someone to come and pray, please.
Thank you, Guy. I was when Guy kept saying, you know, am I speaking okay? Is my accent all right? And I thought, well, you know, in God's the way God works things out, 8 years ago, He sent Luke here to get us used to Quebec accents just for you to preach to us today. So so we're very grateful to have you here. The other thing that struck me was just the, Guy was talking about the gospel. It's the same gospel, the same Bible, the same message that we have here that is preached in Quebec. Is preached in China, it's preached in Africa, it's preached in Asia, it's the same gospel, and it's the same God. And so while there are many differences of language and culture and age and gender and whatever barriers that we put up as human beings in Christ, they are all removed. And that's the beauty, one of the beauties of the gospel, is that we can be one, not in our own efforts, but in Christ. And that's the essence of the gospel. If you have any questions about that, Guy's going to be here for lunch. Anybody who, we're all staying for lunch, I hope. So if you have some questions, please talk to me or to Guy or any of the others from this assembly here. And I'd just like to reiterate what Dave said earlier, that everybody's invited to stay for lunch next door. And the way it's going to work is after I give thanks, we're going to, we'll just start filing out. And as the saying goes, age before youth, I just made up that saying. So older folks go first. So let's let the older folks go first. And parents, if you have children, just sort of hold them back a little bit. We'll file out into through the fellowship hall into the side room, come through, it's buffet style, and take a seat. And if you belong to this assembly, find somebody you don't know, because there's lots of guests here today. And let's just welcome people, and let's learn a little bit of their language and culture, and just have a good time of fellowship in the Lord. Let's just give thanks. Father, we thank you for the word. Thank you for the good news, the bonne nouvelle, which is contained in your word, the good news that we as sinful human beings can be made righteous and acceptable in your sight, not by our works, but by the blood of Christ shed on the cross on our behalf. And not only shed, but that he rose again, defeating death, so that it is not something that we need to fear. The future is secure for your children. Thank you for Guy for bringing that word to us today. Lord, thank you for that word that is preached each week, and may it live every day, every moment of every day in your children, in us. Lord, we thank you for food. We thank you, we recognize the bounty that comes from your creation. And Lord, we just want to give you thanks for that. We pray that you would bless that food to our body's use and bless our time of fellowship, May it be real fellowship in Christ, and may we all recognize that as we share with each other, as we quite literally break bread together here in these next few moments. So, Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for our brother Guy. Thank you for all who've come, and thank you that most of all for Jesus Christ, who came for eternity and lives in our hearts. So we just thank you in his name. Amen.